Please turn with me to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Well-known and beautiful psalm. We are going to read the whole psalm. This is God's word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We trust that God will bless our public reading of his precious word. Amen.
Psalm number 1, and perhaps we could just read one verse again, and it's verse 6. There the Lord says, through the psalmist, this wonderful truth, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Child of God this morning, do you ever look into the future and see in front of you a long road of what you still have to travel in your life on this earth? You see what God has called you to, the different responsibilities that he has given you. Whether it's as a parent, you see that God has given you the great responsibility of raising up your children to love the Lord, to know him. But perhaps it's as a child, or even someone to pray for their loved one, whether it's a friend or a family member, someone who's not saved, and God's given you a promise that he will save them, and so the Lord wants you to pray for them. Or even the Lord's called you to a particular service, whether it's here in the church as a Sunday school teacher or in some other form. And you look ahead at this long road that you still have to live in this earth, and you see the hilly inclines that there are on it, the struggles that there's going to be. You perhaps see times where there's going to be dark clouds ahead, where you're going to feel alone, where everything's going to seem downcast. And as you look at the length of the road, as well as the things that are on the road, all the difficulties, all the challenges, you feel within yourself, how am I ever going to fulfill God's call to me? How am I ever going to hold on to the Lord? How am I ever going to keep persevering? How am I going to have that strength and that wisdom to do what the Lord wants me to do? Whenever you see the great work that God's called you to do, and the vision that he has given to you, and the promises he has given to you, that if you're faithful, he will use you greatly for his glory. And yet, as you look at that long road, it's all just so overwhelming. And you just, looking within yourself, you just get cast down. How can I ever do it? If that's you this morning, well, perhaps it's not you at the minute, but it may be sometime soon. I believe the Lord has laid a message in my heart, a message of encouragement for you. It's found here in what I've just read in Psalm 1, verse 6. Listen to what God says to you. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. I want to do two things this morning. First of all, I want to ask each of us to understand the meaning of these words. Now, many here will know that the Old Testament was not written in English, nor was it even written in Northern Irish, but it was written in Hebrew. And as some of the students are finding out, Hebrew is a very interesting language. Its letters look absolutely nothing like the English alphabet, and there's some letters that we don't even have in the English alphabet. But yet, as I said, Hebrew is a very interesting language. And while we have a great translation here in the King James, yet whenever you look at the Hebrew, sometimes you can get just a little bit more of a fuller meaning to the words. And so I want to look at some of the words here, as I've said. Let's look at the word knoweth. And that simple and that wonderful and comforting truth that God has given us. That the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Let's look at that word knoweth. Well, there's some children here and it's great to see you. It's always great to see children in a meeting. And perhaps if I was to, whenever I go to the door at the end of the service, some of the children would come up to me and tell me about how they learned how to sing the hymn that we've just been singing. About what though clouds are hovering o'er me. Or indeed how to sing any hymn. The children could say, I learned how to sing that hymn by hearing it with my ears. And if they were listening to someone well and good who could sing nice and tunefully, well then they'd have learned how to sing it right. Or indeed perhaps the children would come to me after the service and tell me, you know, I learned how to play the piano. There's a piano at home and without anybody having to tell me, I went up and I started dinging some of the keys and I learned how to make little tunes. I learned these things and I gained knowledge of it by using my hands. Well, this word that is used here in the Hebrew for know indicates knowledge that one possesses. However, they possess it not by hearing it with their ears, not by learning it with their hands, but seeing with their eyes. So therefore, to put it in the context, the Lord knows the way of the righteous because he has seen the way of the righteous. The Bible tells the Lord has a plan for this whole earth. He has a plan for everyone, for you and I. And he sees that plan. And therefore, that knowledge is so clear to him. But there's another word I want to look at, and it's the word Lord. Now, many of you again will know that whenever you see the word Lord written there as it is in block capitals, it's the name Jehovah. The name Jehovah is very significant for many reasons. And I'll not go into them all today for a couple of reasons. One, I don't know it, them all. And two, I haven't got time. But there's one thing I want us to know about this name Jehovah. And that is that whenever the Lord gave it to Moses, he told us what it meant. And it means, I am. Now, if you think about that, just that phrase, I am, it's in the present tense. Now, in college, we have to, but it's also, we learn a fair bit in it too. It's not a drudgery. We go into English class and we learn a lot. And we learn about different tenses. You've got past tense, such as, I was playing football. That's in the past tense. Or indeed the present tense is, I am preaching. Or indeed the future tense, I will be eating a dinner later on. Hopefully, whoever has me for dinner. But you've got these different tenses, past, present, and future. But whenever the Lord gave his name, he says, I am. And what we learn from that is that the Lord's always present. The Bible tells that God's eternal. In regards to what he sees everything at the one time. If you imagine a circle, and you've got a dot in the middle. Well, if you imagine the circle as the history of the world, and indeed all eternity. Well, the Lord's in the middle. And he sees the creation of the world just as clearly as he sees today. just as vividly, just as clear, because it's as present to him as today is present. And therefore, whenever we put that in context, the Lord, the one who's always present, he knows the way of the righteous because he sees it right now. He sees your past, he sees your present, and he sees your future. And he sees it all as vividly and in as much detail and as clearly as each other. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And again, another word I just want to look at, and it's that word way. And again, that's a very interesting word in the Hebrew. Because although it does refer to a way, it refers to a road that has been trodden. Or, for another word for trodden, is a road that has been walked. And again, if you put it into the context of what we've been seeing, although the Lord sees the day you were born, and the day you learned that 2 plus 2 does not equal 5, and you learned how to spell hippopotamus, although the Lord sees your future about what you're going to be doing later on today, and indeed in the years to come, as well as your present, the Lord sees into the far reaches of eternity. And child of God, he sees if you're in heaven. You're not there yet, in our eyes, but in his eyes you are there. It's as secure as that. And you go thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years into eternity where we're with the Lord. The Lord looks back, as it were, and he sees the road that you have trodden. And where we come to that stage where I said at the beginning, do you ever feel that you can't, you see the long road that's ahead of you, from our perspective, and it just seems so difficult. Well, in the Lord's eyes, it says here, the Lord sees the trodden road. He sees that you've already trodden it. He sees that you did persevere. The Lord knoweth, the Lord sees the way of the righteous. And what the psalmist here, inspired by the Lord, is saying, this, what he says here is specifically to the child of God. It's to the righteous. And the word righteous means the one who is perfect and the one who is innocent. And that again shows us the certainty of these words, the certainty of our life, and the certainty of our future. Because we're not righteous because of ourselves. God's love to us is not because of ourselves. God's love to us is because of his Son. He covers us. We are in him. So we've seen the meaning of these words. But just secondly and lastly, after seeing that the Lord, the always present one, the one who sees the past, the present, and the future, he sees it all as one, in his sight, he sees it all together. Let us now look at the comfort of these words. Why or how are these words going to be a comfort to you and to I? Well, first of all, the Lord knows your past. This psalm tells us about two types of people. It tells us about the blessed man, but it also tells us about the ungodly man. And child of God, the first comfort that there is in these words is that the Lord sees your past. The Lord sees that you were born ungodly. That word ungodly is just the opposite of godly. Just like unbalanced is the opposite of balance, and just like to unbend is the opposite of bend. The ungodly is the opposite of godly. The Lord sees your past. He sees your ungodly past. He sees the times where you rebelled against him. The times where you didn't care about him. He sees the times where you loved your sin. And you took the many gifts that he gave you. You took your eyes and you looked at things you shouldn't have looked at. You took your hands and you did things you should never have done. You took your feet and you went places you should never have gone. The Lord sees your past and sees how ungodly and how wicked and evil it was, and how rebellious it was. But yet in the Lord seeing your past, child of God, the Lord at the same time, you might think, well, how's that an encouragement? How's that a comfort? Because although the Lord sees your past, at the same time he sees Jesus Christ dying on that cross. And that's a wonderful thought. Because the Lord sees everything in the present tense, he sees that time you rebelled against him. He sees that time you failed him. He sees that time you hated him. But yet, child of God, he sees Jesus Christ dying on that cross for every single one of your sins at exactly the same time as your sin. And he also sees the time where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, where you put your faith in him. And as such, the Lord sees that all your sins have been paid for. The Lord sees that the wrath, the punishment for all your sins has been completely paid for. There's nothing left to pay. The Lord's not going to hold any other grudge against your sins or any other wrath against your sins because Christ has paid it. And that's the comfort. That's the comfort. The Lord sees your past. But also the Lord sees your present. Because the Lord sees that he's changed you. Whenever the Lord gave you that faith and gave you the Holy Spirit, the trust in his Son, the one who died for you, the Lord gave you a new heart. The Lord gave you a new song. The Lord gave you new desires. And the fact that you're a new creature, these desires that you have, they're given by him. He is the strength of them. He is the foundation of them. And this is the comfort. Not only does the Lord see your past and see that it's all paid by Christ, all covered by his precious blood, once and for all, but he sees the desires that you have right now. These desires are mentioned here in verse 2 of the Psalm. It says, your delight, child of God. And if you are a child of God, I trust this is the case. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. It goes on to tell us in verse 1 the actions of the blessed one. The actions of the one who's been blessed by God. The action of the one who's been saved by God and who is this new creature. That he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Child of God, that you don't stand in the way of sinners. You don't sit in the seat of the scornful. What does all that mean? In regards to verse 2, the Lord says that he sees that your delight, that your love is not for the world and for the things of the world, but your love is for the Lord and for his law. And while the law can be used to refer to all the scripture, the law specifically relates to commands. The Lord sees it as your desire, child of God, because you love him, to know his will and to walk in his will. As you learn his will, as you read his word each day, and as you seek to follow it, the Bible tells us here that that his law, his word, his commands, you meditate upon them day and night. Now, I know none of us will fill this perfectly, but can you say in your own heart that this is your desire? Now, your desire is not to just walk according to the advice of the ungodly, according to the advice of those who hate God. Your desire is not to stand in the way, and if you think of someone who stands, I was going to walk out the door and stand facing this way, and stand looking at the door, stand facing the way I'm going to go. And your desire, child of God, is not to stand in the way of sinners. It's not to stand looking at how the sinners live and admire how they live and what things they get up to. But instead you stand and you look at the Lord. You stand and you look at his will. Your thoughts, your pure thoughts. You think in what's pure. You think in what's of a good report. You think of what there's virtue in. And also that you don't sit or you don't dwell in the presence of scorners, of those who mock. Those who mock the Lord, those who mock His word, that's not your desire to dwell among them, if you have a choice. But your desire is to sit, is to dwell in the presence of those who love the Lord. You see, the comfort in this, if that's your heart, child of God, that you love the Lord, you love His will, you walk in His ways, then the Lord comforts you with these words, that He knows your future. He sees your future. And verse 3 describes what your future is. You shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. And again, this is just really the last comfort that I want to mention. Again, you look down that long road and you see how difficult things are going to be. But yet, if you just take one day at a time. I remember being taught whenever I was young, Paul, if you look after the pennies, the pounds will look after themselves. That's very true. And if you just look after one day at a time in your Christian walk, then the Lord will look after the days. The Lord will look after the weeks. He'll look after the years. He'll look after the decades, if there are any. The Lord will look after your future. He sees your future. He sees it certain. Child of God, if you love the Lord each day as described in verse 2 and verse 1, your delight is in His law and His commands, and you love Him with all your heart and you're seeking to obey Him, the Lord says your future, although it may seem difficult, although it may seem overwhelming, your future is certain. That plan the Lord has for you, the fulfillment of it, it is certain. It says you shall be like a tree. What way? You're going to be skinny, tall, and have bark around you? No. You're going to be like a tree in the sense that you're going to be planted by the rivers of water. If you just take that picture, just for a wee moment, if you go to plant, I've never planted a tree personally, but I think you understand how it works. You get a seed, you prepare the ground, you place the seed in the ground, you cover it up, and you supply it with what it needs. And God tells you, child of God, that if you, just one day at a time, are faithful to Him, and loving Him, and seeking to obey Him, even though you're not perfect, you never will be perfect, but you continue to trust Him, you continue to hold on to Him, and rest in Him, that He's upholding you. And you ever repent from your sins, and if you do fall, you shall be like a tree in the sense that it's going to be planted by the rivers of water. The Lord will choose that ground where He's going to place you. He'll prepare the way for you every single day. He will place you in that place where He has for you. He'll guide your steps. He'll guide your way. And then He'll supply you with everything that you need. I looked up a website to see what is it that a seed needs? What is it that a tree needs to grow, to flourish? And I said, all it really needs is water. The Lord says He'll plant you. He'll prepare the ground for you each day. He'll place you in His will each day. He'll guide you every single step. And also He'll provide you with every single thing that you need to fulfill His will. He's not going to set you in the rivers of water where you're going to be flooded and overwhelmed. But He'll set you by the rivers of water where you'll have enough and more than enough to fulfill His will. But also, not only will you have these things, the Lord will prepare the way, the Lord will place you in His way, and the Lord will provide for you. Yet it says there that you will bring forth. There's no doubt here. You will bring forth your fruit in your season. You will fulfill the plan that God has for you. And the work that you do, child of God, in God's strength, of course, and by His grace, the work that you do, whatever God's called you to, whatever position it is, whether it's as a father, a mother, as a child, as a servant, whatever it may be, it will last for eternity. The Lord says you will bring forth your fruit in your season. You will fulfill the purpose that God has for you. In regards to fruit, while we have many outward purposes, yet there's always that inward purpose of Christ-likeness, the fruit of the Spirit. He will purify you. He'll give you that greater love. Nearly every single day I pray for the fruit of the Spirit. I ask the Lord to give them to me, to increase them in me, that He'll increase my love for Him. It'll increase my joy in Him. Increase my peace that I am in Him and that He is providing for me every step of the way. It'll ever give me that long suffering and that patience to trust that He's got a plan for me and that He's looking after, He's preparing that way. Never help me to trust in Him. He'll give me that gentleness to be kind to those around me. Give me that goodness to not only know what His will is, but how to do His will His way. Do you pray for such things? Do you pray for such steadfastness? You'll not be going up and down, up and down, up and down, but you're going to be steadfast and becoming more like Christ and coming closer to the Lord every single day. For that meekness, that humility, not seeking after yourself, but seeking after the Lord because you love Him, you love His will above yourself. And indeed that temperance, that control, not to go off and lose the bat. Do you desire these things? If so, the Lord's promised you will bring forth your fruit. And you will bring it forth in your season. Because everybody's different. The Lord may have a plan for me, but it'll be different for you. The Lord may want me to do something at a certain stage in life, whether it's today or indeed tomorrow or indeed a week's time, but yet the Lord could have you to do something in a year's time. And the Lord will say, says here that you will, child of God, as you love the Lord every single day and you seek to love Him, you seek to obey Him, you will, in your season, in the time He has appointed for you, when it's going to bring the most glory to Him and when it's going to be of the most benefit to those around you, at the end of the day, that's the purpose of fruit. Glory to God and nice for us to eat. The Lord says you will bring forth your fruit in your season. What a comfort. The Lord sees into the future. He sees it as certain as today. And He says it shall happen. Be encouraged. It says there also that your leaf also shall not wither. And in Scripture, Matthew chapter 21 especially, while there's other Scriptures as well, in Isaiah and Ezekiel, Matthew chapter 21, we're told of Jesus Christ and He sees a fig tree and it's got loads of leaves on. And He goes to the fig tree and He sees that there's no fruit on it. And so He curses the fig tree. The leaves wither, they die, and they perish. And what is taught by what Christ tells us there and what He does in Matthew chapter 21 is about profession. See, many people can say, oh, I'm saved. And they can show these seemingly nice green leaves in their life. But yet it won't, for two things. One, it won't last. And two, whenever they stand before God, before Jesus Christ as judge, Jesus Christ will look at their lives and say, there's no fruit in you. And as it tree with no fruit, as a life with no fruit, you'll be cursed into the lake of fire forever. But child of God, this is where the encouragement is for you. As you seek to love the Lord each day, as you seek to obey Him, your leaf will never wither. Neither in this life. The Lord will give you that perseverance. But also whenever you stand before Jesus Christ on that day, He will see the fruit that He has given in your life. And your leaf will never wither, but it will last for all eternity. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord sees the way of the righteous. And just lastly, it says here, that whatsoever you do, as a child who loves the Lord, as a child who seeks to obey His will, it shall prosper. And the word there for prosper literally means to progress. It will advance. You'll not just be stagnant. You'll not just get to a stage of spirituality, a stage of closeness to the Lord, a stage of a love to the Lord, and have a desire to go on with the Lord, but yet it'll just be stagnant. It'll not grow. No, the Lord says, whatsoever you do in your Christ likeness, in the plan that He has for you, in the fulfillment of it, it shall progress. It shall advance. It shall increase. You're going to know the Lord more and more. You're going to love Him more and more. You're going to see His hand upon your life more and more. You're going to be able to trust Him more and more because of what He gives you. As I finish this morning, do you ever look down that long road? God has given you a promise. He has given you a command of what He wants you to do. And you see it. And the fulfillment of it overwhelms you. You feel, I can't do it. The Lord encourages you this morning. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of those who are in Christ. The Lord sees the way of those who love Him each day and are seeking, even though they're not perfect, seeking to love Him and to obey Him. And He says with absolute certainty, He sees your future and He sees it and He says you shall be like a tree that's planted, chosen, place chosen, prepared and provided for. Planted by the rivers of water. You will bring forth your fruit in a season. Your leaf will never wither. Never need to fear that. Your leaf will never wither. And whatsoever you do for the Lord, it will advance and it will progress. I pray that this has been an encouragement to you. Philip quoted the end of his testimony, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord today. No point worrying about tomorrow because you can't control tomorrow. Trust in the Lord today with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him today, and He shall direct thy path tomorrow, as well as today. You look after the pennies. You look after the days. The Lord will look after the pounds. He'll look after the years. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He sees it with absolute certainty. Perhaps here, if you're not saved, the final part of that verse says, Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly. The way of those who hate the Lord, who love their sin. Is that you? The Lord says that you shall perish. You may profess to other people. You may show forth your green leaves. But if you've got no fruit in your life, if you've never been born again, and you know it in your own heart, the Bible says that you shall perish because of your rebellion against God and not accepting His Son. But will you not accept Him here today? Don't worry about the future. Trust in the Lord today and He will direct your paths. Your future will be certain I'll be with the Lord for all eternity. Jesus Christ promised, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. May God bless his word to our hearts. Amen.